Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Results Driven.
Well, hello and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my company, High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, please give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at my newly improved and updated website, highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we're talking about something that's going to matter to a lot of people planning for retirement: the coming 2026 changes to IRAs and 401ks. Now, these updates aren't just technical tweaks buried in fine print. They can create opportunities to save more, build more, and strengthen your long-term financial picture. But here's the key. There's new opportunities. Only help if you actually understand the rules. And with 2026 bringing higher contribution limits, new withdrawal requirements, and a handful of adjustments tied to the Secure 2.0 Act and inflation, there's a lot to keep track of. One of the biggest shifts, a major change to catch up contributions for high earners, which is something many people haven't even heard about yet. During today's show, we'll be referencing a recent Kiplinger article, Six Changes to IRAs, 401ks, and HSA, which is health savings accounts, in 2026. And to help me even dig into this all together, let's bring in my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, the person who somehow manages to stay upbeat even when Congress gives us more pages of legislation to interpret than anyone can ask for.
Thank you, Kurt. And you're right. These changes are big, and they're going to catch a lot of people off guard if they're not paying attention. But the good news is, like you said, there are real opportunities here. Higher contribution limits or clear guidelines, you know, can make a meaningful difference for anyone trying to build a more solid retirement plan. Before we get into it, though, Kurt, how are you this morning, this Monday morning when we're recording? How was your last weekend?
Weekend was great. We were productive around the house, trying to get things all in order for the holidays. And we're also doing some renovations in the basement. So overall, very productive. The weekend flew by as usual, way too fast, not long enough. And all excited about our show today here on Monday.
Well, good. Yes, we are getting some cold here in Minnesota right now, and we have a ton of snow this season so far. We had, you know, a snowstorm right after Thanksgiving, and we also are getting more snow tomorrow and, you know, just snow after snow, which is not I'm not happy about it, but I do live in Minnesota, so I will accept it and move on, I guess. So great to catch up with you, Kurt. And that catch-up contribution change for high earners that you just mentioned, you know, that's a big one. I think a lot of our listeners are going to want to understand how it works and whether it truly affects them.
All right, let's start with one of the biggest 2026 changes, and it's aimed directly at high earners who are 50 or older. So beginning in 2026, if you're in that group and you want to make catch-up contributions to your 401k, 403b, or governmental 457b plans, those contributions can no longer be pre-tax. They now must go into the Roth side of the plan, which means they're made in an after-tax basis. Now, that is a pretty important shift. In the past, many high earner savers relied on the upfront tax deduction when making catch-up contributions. Starting in 2026, that deduction disappears for anyone who meets the income threshold. Instead, the trade-off becomes you pay taxes on the money now, but qualified withdrawals in retirement are tax-free in the future. So the benefits move from front end to the back end.
So let's talk about who this applies to, because I'm guessing it's very specific, Kurt.
Most importantly, you have to meet both criteria. Your age, 50 or older, or you turn 50 that particular year, and your FICA wages from your prior calendar year, usually box three on your W-2, were under $150,000 with the employer-sponsored plan. Let me correct that. We're over $150,000. I stand corrected. With your employer-sponsored plan. If your 2025 FICA wages exceed $150,000, and you're at least 50, you won't be able to deduct your catch-up contributions anymore. That income threshold will adjust for inflation over time, but the rule itself is here to stay. And here's another important detail in 2026. The catch-up limit is $8,000, up from $7,500 in 2025. If you're subject to the high earner rule, the entire $8,000 must be designated as a Roth or after tax. There is no pre-tax option. And this part can really catch people by surprise. If your employer's plan doesn't offer a Roth feature in the plan, then high earners who fall under this rule simply won't be able to allow to make the catch-up contributions at all. So that's something worth checking into sooner rather than later.
And honestly, I mean, Kurt, that's a major change, especially for people who are, you know, counting on those pre-tax contributions in their final working years. And I imagine a lot of listeners fall right around that $150,000 mark, close enough that they're not sure whether this applies to them or not.
Which is why it may be a good time to start having conversations with your plan administrator or your financial planning advisor or tax professional. If you're near the income level or already above it, you want to understand how this mandatory Roth catch-up rule could impact your 2026 savings strategy. The earlier you plan for it, the smoother the transition will be. All right, let's move on to another big change coming in 2026, which is the increased contribution limits for 401ks, 403bs, and 457b plans. We see all these limits rise from time to time, but the 2026 adjustments are especially meaningful. Anytime these ceilings go up, it gives employees more room to build long-term savings.
And that's huge for anyone who's really trying to maximize those final working years, right, Kurt? I mean, especially people planning to use catch-up contributions, right?
Yes. When these limits rise, it lets people put more income into tax-advantaged accounts, which can boost long-term compound growth. And depending on how they structure the contribution, this may also get immediate tax benefits.
And the timing matters, too. We keep hearing concerns about the Social Security Trust Fund and whether benefits could or would shift in the future.
And that's part of why these higher limits are so important. Some experts suggest that people may need more personal savings to help offset any potential reductions later on. One estimate from the article suggests that someone may need about an additional $138,000 in additional savings just to create the same income if Social Security is reduced, using the 4% withdrawal rule.
And that puts the whole contribution increase into perspective, and the numbers there are truly eye-opening.
It really does. And since we're talking numbers, here's what the 2026 year looks like. Employee contributions under age 50, $24,500, up from the $23,500. Catch-up contributions for age 50 plus is $8,000, up from the $7,500. The total for age 50 plus is now $32,500. There's also a super catch-up clause for people ages 60 to 63, and that's still $11,250. So the total for people in the age bracket from 60 to 63 escalates to $35,750.
Right. And that age 60 to 63, the super catch-up window, is part of the Secure 2.0. So it's a temporary bump to help people nearing retirement save more. And in fact, we do need to be aware that it's temporary. I feel like there's a lot of temporarily, you know, things put in place by legislature.
And for anyone who hasn't reviewed their contribution strategy lately, this is a great time to do so. These changes can give people real opportunities to strengthen their retirement plan heading into 2026. All right, let's shift over to IRAs, because traditional and Roth IRAs are also seeing some important updates for 2026. Now, one thing that trips people up is the income rules around traditional IRAs, not for contributing, but for deducting the contributions. There's no income limit for putting money into a traditional IRA, but the ability to deduct the contribution depends on your income and whether you or your spouse is covered by a workplace retirement plan.
Right. And that's where people sometimes can get confused, because it's not just about your coverage. It's your spouse's coverage that can affect your deduction, too.
If you personally are not covered by a retirement plan at work, but your spouse is, you can still take the deduction. But your joint income determines whether or not you get the full deduction, a partial one or none at all. And here's the simplest version. If neither of you are covered by a workplace plan, you can take the full deduction up to the annual limit, no matter what the modified adjusted gross income, or MAGI, happens to be.
Okay, so let's talk about numbers here, because I think that's where everyone wants to know and how they can put it into perspective.
Yes, for 2026, the contribution limits look like this. The traditional or Roth IRA contributions under the age of 50 are $7,500, up from $7,000 in 2025. Catch-up contributions for ages 50 plus are up to $1,100, up from the $1,000 that it was in the previous year. Now, the phase-out ranges for deducting traditional IRA contributions depending on your filing status and whether you're covered by a workplace plan. If you're covered by a plan at work, your 2026 phase-outs are as follows. For single or head of household, a full deduction at $81,000 or less. Partial is from $81,001 to $91,000 even. I don't know where they get the $1. But anyway, and then there's no deduction at $91,001 or more. Married, filing jointly, both spouses covered. Full deduction at $129,000 or less. Partial is from $129,001 to $149,000. No deduction at $149,001 or more. Married, filing separately, full deduction below $10,000, no deduction at $10,000 or above.
So, and if only one spouse is covered by a workplace plan, that opens up a whole different set of income thresholds. Is that correct?
Yes. In that case, for married couples filing jointly, the phase-out ranges are higher. Full deduction at $242,000 or less. Partial deduction from $242,001 to $252,000. And no deduction at $252,000 or more. All these numbers are up from the 2025 limits.
These are a lot of numbers that we're going through, Kurt. This can get very confusing. So to further break it down, you know, Roth IRAs still have their own separate income rules. So as you've told us before, Kurt, those don't affect deductions. They determine whether you can contribute at all or not.
Yeah, for 2026, the Roth IRA income phase-out ranges look like this. For single or head of household, it begins at $153,000 and ends at $168,000. Married filing jointly begins at $242,000 and ends at $252,000. Married filing separately, the phase-out is below $10,000 and the same as previous years.
Okay, Kurt. So the bottom line here is that IRAs are becoming a little more flexible in terms of, you know, the contribution amounts, but people really need to understand where their income fits into these deduction and eligibility rules.
Exactly. I agree. With all those adjustments happening in 2026, it's a great time to reevaluate your IRA strategies, especially if your income is near any one of these phase out ranges. Now that we've talked about personal retirement accounts like IRAs, let's shift to something just as important, which is retirement plans for small business owners and self-employed. The 2026 changes actually offer some of the biggest opportunities for both these classifications of people. When contribution limits rise for plans like SEP IRAs, solo 401ks, and simple IRAs, that's a powerful development. It means business owners can set aside more money in tax-advantaged accounts, not just for themselves, but for also their employees as well.
Well, and that's a big deal because small business owners don't always get the same built-in benefits that employees at larger companies get. So when these limits increase, it really gives them room to build more security.
I think that's well stated, Jacqueline, and there's another side to it. Higher contribution ceilings can help business owners maximize deductions, make their benefit packages a lot more competitive. That matters when you're trying to attract and retain great talent. Let's break down some of the new numbers for 2026.
All right, Kurt. Well, I'm excited to hear these, but let's start with the simple IRAs and simple 401ks.
For those plans, the 2026 limits look like this. Employee contribution limit is $17,000, which is $500 higher than in 2025. Catch-up contributions for ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus is $4,000, also up $500. Super catch-up for ages 60 to 63 are $5,250, which stays the same for 2025. Now let's look at SEP IRAs. The maximum annual contribution is $72,000 in 2026. That's up $2,000. Annual compensation limits are $360,000, which is up $10,000. And importantly, SEP IRAs do not allow super catch-up contributions, unlike some other plans.
And solo 401ks are always popular with self-employed listeners. So what's changing there specifically?
Solo 401ks see several key updates in 2026. Here's the breakdown by age group. Employee contribution limits under the age of 50 are $24,500. Ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus, $32,500, which includes an $8,000 catch-up contribution. Ages 60 to 63, it's $35,750, which includes the $11,250 super catch-up contribution. That's for employees. For employer contributions, up to 25% of compensation for all age groups. So to total combined limit, employee and employer under the age of 50 is $72,000. Ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus, it's $80,000. And ages 60 to 63, that contribution goes up to $83,250. And there's one more important detail. In a solo 401k, you can contribute as both employee and employer. As the employer, your profit sharing contribution can be up to 25% of your compensation after Social Security and Medicare taxes. So the overall compensation cap for 2026 is $360,000.
Well, and that's a lot of opportunities, Kurt, especially for self-employed people who want to make the most of their high earning years. These plans really do give them a chance to build a strong retirement foundation.
Absolutely, Jacqueline. And with these higher limits, 2026 could be a great year for business owners to reevaluate their retirement savings strategies and make sure they're using the options available to them and maximizing them as well.
Absolutely. So, Kurt, before we keep going with today's conversation, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you and your team to ask questions or to get more information on this?
Absolutely, Jacqueline. Just give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at our new improved website, highvalueconsulting.org, to schedule a consultation. Only takes a few minutes. And we'll always work with your schedule that's mutually convenient for all parties involved.
All right. Well, perfect. So now let's just jump right back into today's topic.
All right. Let's take a quick look at one of the simpler but still important changes coming in 2026. And this one might actually show up right in your mailbox. Starting in 2026, defined contribution plans like 401ks must send participants at least one paper statement every year unless you're specifically chosen or you have chose to receive them all electronically.
Well, this is an interesting topic because I know it's kind of a debate going around, right? So electronic versus hard copy and having it written down in front of you. So Kurt, even people who have been strictly digital up to now might suddenly see an envelope from their retirement plan provider?
Absolutely. Unless they've opted out altogether, they'll get at least one paper statement annually, which personally I think is a great idea. Because a lot of clients go, I didn't get it in my email or I deleted it. So having a paper copy mailed to them gives them that that document that they need when they bring into the office. And for defined benefit plans, like traditional pension type plans, the requirement is a little different. These plans have to provide a paper statement at least once every 3 years, which I think should even be more so than that, but that's what the new law says.
Well, it's a small change, but it does shift the experience back towards something more tangible. And I agree with you, Kurt. I like this. You know, for some people, having that physical reminder can be really helpful in keeping track of their retirement progress. I know for me, I only remember to renew my tabs on my car when it arrives in the mail.
I agree wholeheartedly, Jacqueline, because it's a good cue to review your communication preferences. And if you prefer everything digital, it's worth checking to make sure you've made the election for 2020 before 2026 rolls around. Let's also highlight some things, something that plays a big role before and after retirement. Health savings accounts, or HSAs. Healthcare can be one of the toughest costs to manage, especially later in life. And HSAs, or the health savings accounts, are one of the most tax-advantaged ways to prepare for those expenses. If you're enrolled in a qualified high-deductible health plan, you can contribute to your HSA to help sign up, to help you sign up before Medicare. What makes HSAs so powerful is the triple tax benefit. Your contributions go in pre-tax, they're tax deductible, and if you contribute after tax, the growth is tax-free. Withdrawals are tax-free as long as you use them for qualified medical expenses.
And after the age of 65, the rules shift a little bit, right, Kurt?
They do. After 65, you can still withdraw HSA funds for non-medical reasons without a penalty. The withdrawals, though, are going to be taxable as ordinary income, which is similar to how a traditional IRA works. But if you use the funds for qualified medical expenses, they remain completely tax-free. Now, even with having an HSA, your health plan has to meet certain criteria. That's where things like contribution limits, minimum deductibles, and maximum out-of-pocket amounts come into play.
And catch-up contributions work a bit differently with HSAs, too.
You're on your A-game today, Jacqueline. Not me. You are. If you age 20, 55, or older by the end of the year, you're not enrolled in Medicare. You can contribute an additional $1,000 as a catch-up. And if both spouses are 55 or older and not enrolled in Medicare, each person can use the catch-up. They just have to make those contributions into a separate HSA accounts. Let's walk through the official 2026 numbers for HSA-qualified high-deductible health plans. Self-only coverage, the maximum HSA contribution is $4,400. The minimum annual deductible is $1,700. The maximum out-of-pocket limits is $8,500. For family coverage, the maximum HSA contribution is $8,750. The minimum annual deductible is $3,400. And the maximum out-of-pocket limit is $17,000. And again, the catch-up contribution for individuals age 55 or over is $1,000.
And those are pretty important figures, especially for people trying to decide whether a high deductible plan is a good fit. HSAs can be incredibly valuable, but only if the plan itself meets those eligibility rules.
You got it. And here's a helpful hint. You can use HSA funds tax-free for Medicare Part B and Part D premiums, as well as copays, deductibles, and coinsurance. Just keep in mind, these Medigap premiums don't qualify. Those withdrawals would be taxable.
Okay. You know, Kurt, after walking through all these changes from catch-up rules to IRA limits to HSA details, it really shows just how complicated retirement planning can be. Those aren't just small tweaks that we're talking about. They're the kind of shifts that can change how people save, how they invest, and how they prepare for long term.
Yes, and while most of these updates are positive, including higher limits, more opportunities, and more flexibility, they can also create confusion. That's where working with your financial service professional can make a huge difference in your financial life. A lot of people don't realize how much strategy goes into choosing the right account, the right contribution, and even the right timing in regarding these plans.
Yeah, right. Because it's not just save more and hope for the best. It's about understanding what applies to you personally. Things like your age, your income, your workplace plan, and your family situation.
Yes, a financial service professional can look at the entire picture through your financial planning process and help you understand which of these 2026 changes actually impact you and your family. For example, whether the Roth catch-up rules applies whether you're near one of the IRA phase-out ranges or whether a high deductible plan makes sense based on your current health needs.
And I imagine the guidance becomes even more valuable for business owners and the self-employed.
Absolutely, definitely. These plans have more moving parts and the contribution limits are higher. So the stakes are higher too. Having somebody walk through your options and help you take full advantage of what's available will help avoid mistakes and stay aligned with your long-term financial goals.
Absolutely. Well, Kurt, we've had a fantastic show today. Anything else that you want to add or highlights of the show? Because I know that we, you know, covered so much today and the information that we covered, you know, is crucial in planning for retirement for our listeners. And so, you know, what are the main things that we should pay attention to and why should they contact a financial professional like yourself?
With all these changes that are on the horizon for 2026, it's imperative that you meet with your financial service professional, your tax professional, and do some proactive planning. That way there's nothing's left off the table that's going to help you maximize all the contributions and your planning for 2026. Again, a lot of people will not understand how this fully impacts their financial goals or objectives going forward. Because a lot of change, and a lot of people have a hard time with change as well. So I really encourage people to meet with their team, review their financial plan, make the appropriate changes, and plan for a prosperous 2026.
Yes, well, absolutely. Well, Kurt, how can our listeners get a hold of you and your team at High Value Consulting?
Well, if you give me a call, our number is 484-431-2874. Or you can reach out our newly improved website, which is highvalueconsulting.org. And we easy schedule a consultation, bring in your statements, your financial plan. We'll do a review and plan for 2026 and beyond. But we're more than happy to meet with you. There's no cost for a consultation. We also are looking to help you with your 401k rollovers. And we also have the offering of a state guru that complement your financial plan with your estate plan.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today on another episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt High.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.